Could I ask you to turn, first of all, to the Old Testament? And we're looking at the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. And we'll read in chapter 5. We'll read verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, saith unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's hosts said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now could I ask you to turn to the New Testament, and we'll look at the Epistle to the Hebrews, and we'll read in chapter 2 of the Hebrews. Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for everything, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Another reference in chapter 12, please, of the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the Prince, same word, the author, and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And may the Lord bless his word to us. I want to talk to you as we close the week's meetings on the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to use this title that's given to Joshua in the Old Testament. And if we had time, we would have looked at it in the book of Daniel. And then we find it four times in our New Testament. I want to talk to you about him who is the captain of our salvation. In a meeting like this, it may perchance be that we have some friend with us, And we will be glad to have you. But maybe you've had no personal contact with our lovely Savior. And it may be you have been impressed by His glory. And you have been impressed by His work. But you have never yet trusted Him as your Savior. In an atmosphere such as we are in now, you never had a better opportunity just to bow in humble and true repentance and put your faith in Him. You would discover, as many in this hall have discovered, that He is true to every promise, that He fulfills all that He has said. And this lovely title brings Him before us, the Captain of our salvation. When He saved us, He saved us not to let us down. Mm-hmm. He saved us not to throw us away. He saved us to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, and finally, to land us safe on heaven's shore. That is why He is called in the book of Hebrews the Captain of our salvation. The writer says, "We behold Jesus." Says a few things about Him that only could be said about one person, your Lord and mine. And then He gives Him this lovely title, the Captain of our salvation. Flooding into our minds tonight, as we have listened and we have enjoyed the wonderful, warm ministry of our dear brother, taking us into tabernacle teaching, and to discover that all this was for the wilderness, and it was glorious. But what would it be when they entered the land? If today you enjoy, through the Word of God, our Lord Jesus in a personal way, what will it be when we remove every hindering element that still abides in us and with us today? What will it be when we enter the land? And we are with Him. And then we'll discover that He has been leading us all our pilgrim journey. And we'll discover that He is the Captain. And He has never vacated that office. And He won't. And He will land every saint into the realms of the bliss and glory of the Father's house. You see, Israel were redeemed when they were in the world of Egypt. And you say, well, I can feel the sense of that. I can look back to the day when I was snatched as a brand from the burning. And I was taken away from the judgment that ought to have befallen me. I too have been redeemed. And we bless God for the value of the blood of Christ. But then we discover that that but started us out on a life of pilgrimage. We became immediately strangers in this world,
This world is not our home. We are pilgrims. We are going home. Beloved, you read through the exploits of Moses as the leader, guiding the people across the sea, the Red Sea, the cloud with them, and they journey by its direction through the wilderness. And then, because he was but a man, he died. But God gave them another leader. He had been trained for this. It was the end of the wilderness journey. They're about to enter the land. Joshua was his name. He had fought many a battle in the wilderness. He knew what wilderness fighting was. And he had emerged often as the victor in those battles. But he's almost there to enjoy the promised land, Emmanuel's land. And he's got problems. He had never met a walled city before. He had fought battle after battle in the wilderness, but he had never been confronted with a walled city. And you can see the man as you read the early chapters of Joshua, and you discover as he looked at the walled city, this was something beyond him. He knew how to direct his army. He had the skill of a good general. He wasn't lacking in experience. But this was different. This was a walled city. Would he be able to take it? Would he be able to take the people of God into the land that was Emmanuel's land? And he's struggling. He had laid out his scheme, no doubt. But the night before the battle, he's before his God. And there appears a vision to him of a man ready for fight. He's got a drawn sword. It wasn't in his sheath. He was ready for battle. And Joshua immediately asks, "Art thou for us or against us?" And you can sense the situation, feel the atmosphere. And then Joshua hears those words of comfort. "As the Lord's captain, I'm come. I'll take you into the land. A walled city won't prevent our successful entry." My brother, my sister, let Satan erect all the barriers possible. He will never deflect the Son of God from taking his people into not Emmanuel's land, but into the Father's house. How will he do it? "As captain of the hosts of Jehovah am I now come." What a victory it was. Joshua wanted to fight it with soldiers. And the captain said to him, "Dismiss your soldiers. This is not a military battle. This is a spiritual one. We'll conquer by priests. And the ark will be in the center." And the victory was total and complete. What Joshua found was, there was faith already in the city and faith outside the city. Oh, you say, there's faith already up there in heaven. And there's faith among the pilgrims who are journeying to heaven now, one day they'll be united. You see, are you speaking about the rapture? That's only part of the total victory, but it's a wonderful part. It's our hope, and it's a blessed hope. And very soon, I believe, we'll realize it when we leave this old tottering world and we arrive up there. We'll discover there's faith there already, and we will join, and the company will be complete. Or you say, but I need a captain today. I need one to guide me in my wilderness journey. Peter says he was killed. And you read the early chapters of Acts, and Peter spoke about a prince of life. They killed him, said Peter. He said that one day, and the next day he said he was raised from the dead. And when he's preaching and preached that the Prince of Life was killed, he had a purpose for saying that. He went into death to destroy him who had the power of death and gain total victory. And then Peter speaks about him as one whom God raised from the dead. He's the resurrected Lord Jesus. He's prince of his people. And you say, where is the connection with Hebrews? Do you know that expression? But we see Jesus. How do we see him? By faith we see him as the captain of our salvation. And that word captain is just the Greek equivalent of the word prince. He's the prince of salvation. He's the leader of salvation. What do we discover in chapter 2 of Hebrews? He is the captain of our salvation. Not only suffered at Calvary, but sufferings are put in the plural to indicate the passage of life that he had when he was down here. Why should he suffer as a man? He never sinned. He never drew any suffering because of any ill that he did or said. Then why did he suffer? Well, Hebrews 2 will tell you. He suffered so that he could be a fit person to be our great priest. He is our captain, but he's more than that. He's our priest, and he's our savior. He's our everything. You see, beloved, in the mentions that we have, and we didn't read them all that we have in the New Testament, but I'm going to draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 12. What am I to do now in the wilderness? On what principle have I to live my Christian life? Or, says the writer to the Hebrews, do it by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? Does this mean that I work miracles and speak with tongues? Is that what's being said about it? Of course not. Has nothing to do with living by faith. How do I live by faith? Looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Do you know the word author? That's the word captain. That's the word for prince. He's the author and finisher of faith. In other words, we see Jesus now as the author, as the finisher, the completer of faith. And our eyes are towards him, just as Joshua's eye was on the captain in that far-off day. May God help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I wonder if I could challenge the company. Do you know him as your Savior? As your captain, as the finisher of faith, as the leader God appointed? Do you? If not, why not tonight? Let's pray. O God, our Father, we thank thee for these days of conference, when we can sit round the scriptures of truth, and we have enjoyed the blessedness of the revelation by thy Spirit to our souls, of the truth contained in thy word. We bless thee for his presence. We thank thee for the help given to all of us, just to be sitting in thy presence on these days, hearing thy word, trying to understand it, taking it in, making it our very own. And thou hast directed us to one who is a great priest, of whom every whit of the tabernacle would speak. And our hearts have rejoiced as we have looked at the many virtues of our blessed Savior. For the help given, we give thee thanks. We pray to help us in the little time that's left to all of us to live by faith, to live in company with our Savior, and to the eyes of our faith, that they might be set on him, that we might see Jesus, the captain, the finisher of faith, the giver of salvation. With us, give thanks for thy kindness to us throughout the week, and for every little bit of fellowship we have enjoyed with thy people. We return thee our thanks. We believe it won't be long until there will be no more conferences or weeks of ministry down here. Very soon, we shall be at home. With us, give thee thanks for the blessed hope, our Lord Jesus Christ. Take thy people home in safety, we pray, in the Savior's worthy name. Amen. Amen.